This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Mokhtar, Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. For now, though, we're taking a look at the global economy. And despite hopeful sentiments for a better year of recovery, 2022 has had an ominous start, with expectations of moderating growth colliding with higher inflation and geopolitical headwinds.
War in Europe came somewhat as a shock when Russia invaded Ukraine in late February, which has rapidly descended into a humanitarian crisis as thousands have been killed while millions flee their homeland. In response to the conflict, many nations around the world did impose sanctions on Russia, which might further affect commodity prices, which we're already seeing currently in terms of oil prices, grain prices, metal prices. Now, given the fluidity of the situation, how does a pandemic, inflation and now a war impact monetary policy and global economic recovery for the rest of this year?
So for more on this, we have with us Julia Goh, senior economist with UOB. Julia, good morning. Always good to have you. How has the economy been performing prior to the Russia-Ukraine conflict? And were we on the trajectory for a good global recovery?
Even prior to the Ukraine conflict, the global economy was already expected to chart a slower growth path with higher inflation in 2022. We expected the moderation to be led by a normalization of growth for the major economies after they saw a strong performance last year, and also slower China economy because of weakness in its domestic sectors, particularly the property side and the effects of China's zero COVID policy. But for the rest of Asia, particularly economies that lagged last year due to COVID restrictions, actually 2022 was supposed to be the year of a more meaningful recovery. We have seen vaccination rates are higher in the region, borders are reopening, so that would enable a stronger recovery for the ASEAN economies.
So, Julia, how much growth has the Russian and Ukraine conflict actually set global growth back then?
The situation remains fluid, and we were careful in our assessments to draw out reasonable scenarios to assess how the conflict could escalate and hurt growth. So under our base case scenario, with a probability of 60%, we actually expect an extended conflict for a few weeks or months, and we assume that the full range of sanctions on Russia by US and its allies will stay on a prolonged basis. And the main fallout from the sanctions would be higher commodity prices across the whole complex of energy, agriculture and metals, as both Russia and Ukraine are significant producers of these commodities. So in short, we think the more pronounced impact in the near term is on inflation, while growth will see a moderate correction, especially for countries with minimal direct exposure to Russia and Ukraine. Now, the extent of impact on individual economies will also depend on geography. For instance, we downgraded Europe's growth the most due to its proximity to the war and its reliance on Russian energy. Countries with higher reliance on imports of energy and agriculture, such as Japan and India, who is the third largest crude oil consumer in the world, face more downside risks. On the other hand, major commodity exporting countries would face higher inflation, but their growth may actually benefit from the commodity price rally. Their currencies may be more stable, and government subsidies in these countries could also help to cushion some of the inflation pressures. So it's quite mixed, but for now, I think the growth corrections are still quite moderate at this point.
So Julia, in the likelihood that Russia and Ukraine fail to call a ceasefire, causing the conflict to continue longer than anticipated, what kind of impact will this have on the world economy?
So if the conflict prolongs and expands, which comes under our scenario of an expanded conflict, and we place a 5% probability in this scenario, we assume that this would involve a direct NATO-Russia military clash. And we expect significant increases in inflation as supplies of commodities and production are expected to face major disruptions due to the broadening of military conflict in Europe. We expect more sanctions in this scenario and also infrastructure damage. So if really the conflict becomes more expanded, we expect there will be major disruptions to global demand, as consumers would cut back on spending and companies reassess investment plans. As such, in the event of an expanded conflict, we should expect weaker growth via secondary channels as sanctions escalate.
And you did mention that sanctions are likely to be long term. We've seen Europe, UK and US employ heavy sanctions on the Russian economy, which threatens to send it into a severe recession. What would be the impact of a Russia in recession?
So our current assessment is that Russia, who is the recipient of majority of sanctions and faced with a sharp depreciation of the ruble currency, is the most likely to fall into severe recession this year. But even if Russia falls into recession, we still expect positive but slower growth for the other economies amid high inflation. And none of the major or Asian economies are expected to slip into recession yet. Now, the reason for this is that aside from Europe, most economies have lower reliance on Russia exports and lower importance of Russia as an end market. So the direct exposure to Russia is minimal at this point.
Now, crude oil prices continue to be extremely volatile as the conflict escalates, while the US and Iran deal is still delayed. I mean, how high do you expect oil prices to be? And what kind of impact will this have on global inflation?
We see Brent oil prices at $110 per barrel in second quarter and third quarter, and for it to stay elevated at 100 by year end. I think prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the global crude oil inventory had already dropped to an almost decade low. And upon the invasion, we saw another 5% loss of global oil supplies as the West stopped buying from Russia. Moreover, OPEC, who has traditionally been seen as an oil market stabilizer, has also signaled they are not in a hurry to raise its production anytime soon. As for US shale, the shale oil producers have weak balance sheets, so it means it will be difficult for them to raise shale oil production in the near term. And with the ongoing geopolitical risks, it's very likely Germany and Western Europe will need to diversify away from Russian energy. So I'd say the impact of an extended oil price rally above 100 would feed into higher inflation risk for most countries, right? Especially if they don't have any subsidies, and would lead to an erosion of real incomes.
You know, specific to the ASEAN region, how do you see central banks here attempting to deal with these issues?
Yes, so central banks in the region, they are probably assessing the fallout of the Russia-Ukraine conflict and as well balance against domestic growth factors and inflation. But I think generally, with inflation concerns rising and most of the ASEAN economies expected to still chart a positive growth this year, we see more economies on the cusp of raising interest rates. The exception is, of course, China and the whole world, which we expect to go against the trend and cut interest rates, right? Because of the concerns that the Chinese economy is slowing down. But we think that the rest of the region and ASEAN will actually start to raise interest rates as early as second quarter this year.
So apart from the ongoing conflict and inflationary concerns, what are the other challenges that might set back global economic recovery?
We are also cautious and watching how US-China talks pan out and whether there is a possibility of Western sanctions broadening to other countries that continue to trade with Russia. And then another challenge is the US growth outlook, because US policymakers are faced with a dilemma with prospects of sharply higher inflation. Right, they are seeing inflation bordering on 8% already. And this is measured against the effects of the Russia-Ukraine war. So the US Fed is expected to pursue a more aggressive monetary policy tightening despite concerns of the expanding conflict. And I think the risk is how this will affect US consumption and growth. Right. Of course, the question is, why would the US do this, you know, in the face of higher growth risks? As we saw from the Fed's decision last week, where they raised their US interest rates by 25 basis points, and they also continued to signal rate hikes at every meeting for the rest of this year, right? So based on their actions and signaling and comments, we think the Fed doesn't have much choice. And with inflation sticky above the Fed's comfort levels, we think doing nothing is not an option for them. And these central banks, right, even if they see the driver of higher prices due to supply side factors. So I think this is something we have to watch for, how globally economies actually deal with higher inflation, higher interest rates, and also dealing with the fallout from the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
So then, Julia, what is your revised forecast for global growth then?
As I said, we've seen minor corrections so far, and we've trimmed the global growth by marginal 0.2%. So global growth outlook is still above 4%. But the risks are tilted to the downside. And I think we will be watching, as I said, the impact of high inflation, interest rates, how US-China talks pan out, and especially if US shows little patience towards countries that continue to trade with Russia.
Julia, thanks as always for speaking with us. That was Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB, giving us her projections of how the global economy will move forward in the coming months after the very turbulent first 3 months of the year. The war in Ukraine certainly taking center stage in everyone's attention. And in fact, we do have a special breakfast grill tomorrow related to this.
Yeah, because it's actually been almost one month since Russia launched its invasion into Ukraine on February 24th. So tell us what you'd like to know about the crisis. We'll be speaking to Ukraine's ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Alexander Nachitalo, on the breakfast grill tomorrow at 8:05 a.m. Send us your questions via WhatsApp, which is 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll try to get them answered on the show.
7:47 in the morning. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.